Andy Holding's Racing Podcast from William Hill. Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcasts. Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Welcome to the William Hill Irish Racing Preview. Alex Stone here, joined on the line as ever by Andy Holding to look ahead to Down Royals card on Wednesday afternoon. Seven races to look forward to. And though they may not be the highest quality races you will ever see, Andy, it's competitive enough, isn't it?
Yes, that's a good way of starting off the podcast by getting on to the positives.
Well, we look at some of the Irish racing that we've previewed recently. I mean, I spoke to you before the Leopardstown card on Sunday, which was just a feast, if you like, of top quality action. We're lacking the quality here, but we've got decent field sizes, and I'd imagine there's still some pretty sound bets to be had.
Yeah, I can see at least three or four, so that's encouraging. On days when the fare is of a low standard, then it usually follows suit with the bets, but not on this occasion. So yeah, it's probably not as bad as what we would appear at first glance.
No. That is fair. Okay, well, we'll start with the 130, which is a handicap chase over 3 miles. Ard Millen heads the market at the time of recording, and deservedly so. Has won the last two times. But there's some consistent types in here, the likes of Catnap and David from Milan, can't be discounted. And one that I quite like here, Andy, is Waltz Legend, a horse that I've, well, I wouldn't say a cliff horse, but one that I've definitely followed since seeing that at Hexham. Sort of in the early summer. Which one do you like in this race? Is it going to be hard to get away from Ard Millen once again?
I certainly think he's got a decent chance of completing the hat-trick. That win last time at Fairy House was a race where the favourite probably chucked it away rather than Ard Millen won it on merit. I thought the favourite jumped particularly badly, and he chucked it away through a series of slow, stroke, cumbersome leaps. That said, Ard Millen himself travelled pretty strongly throughout, and he wanted to be the recipient, I could say, of the favourite, rather botching it up. The good thing for Ard Millen's supporters is that he's won over the track. The negative is that he's yet to prove himself beyond 2.5 miles, and Downroyal being a stiff track, where stamina is very much an essence to victory. Then, there are, like I say, one or two slight question marks about his overall profile. So, with that in mind, and being his favourite, I want to take him on here. I'd probably play this race with a two-pronged attack against the jolly. One of them would be Davy from Milan, who posted a really good speed figure when he won in Navan the other day. He beat the ice, I like, in pretty gritty and determined fashion, carrying top weight. And when I did the time of the race afterwards, I only found that he was half a second slower than Apache Jack, who won the beginner's chase over 2.5 miles previously. And his overall time was the fastest on the card as well. So all of a sudden pricked up and thought, I've got to follow this form. And David from Land's got a decent run under his belt here at this track as well, when he finished third in a hunter chase. So the combination of him being in form, very consistent type, look at his form figures, hardly ever at the frame. Adam O'Neill gets on really well with him. That speed figure last time out, he simply has to be a bet at 5-1. And the other one I chuck into the mix is Mr. Shankly, who had his first run for New Connections. Obviously, James Fean has been plying his trade mainly with his runners on the all-weather at Dundalk to a fairly good degree of success. And similar to David from Milan, he posted a pretty good number for the grade when he won in Fairy House last time out. Again, only running slightly slower than another hot race on the card, which contained horses with a much higher rating. He beat De Benno in the process, and of course De Benno ties in with Ard Millen, who was third in that Fairy House race. So I think these two are going to give Ard Millen plenty to think about here. They both stay really well. They're coming here in good form off the back of good speed figure times, and we can get roughly 5-6-1 the pair. So those two against the field will do for me.
Okay, next up is the 2 o'clock, which is a beginner's chase over 2.5 miles. Again, well, there's very, very little winning form to go off here, Andy. Nosy Box is a model of consistency, but just can't seem to poke her nose in front. That said, she's getting a handy bit of weight here. The jockey takes 7 off. If she's going to win, surely it has to be today.
Yeah, I'd not really sure. I trust her at a short price. She's the kind of horse I'd want to be backing each way and only each way because of her profile suggesting that she is difficult to win with, as you quite rightly said. I think she does need things to drop absolutely perfect for her. If there's a strong stare in the race, then she tends to just say no thanks very much. And with that in mind, I'd probably oppose her as well. A bit of a theme for me today, posing the favourites. And I'm going to go with Blue Bicycle here. A horse that was a useful horse in the National Hunt Sphere. In the Bumper Sphere, sorry. Didn't quite create the same kind of splashes over hurdles that we thought it might, but his last two runs over the smaller obstacles are certainly encouraging. Fourth behind Dane King at Navan, and particularly that third behind Outlander, who's second favourite to win the Neptune at the Cheltenham Festival, certainly reads well. Had its first run over fences of the day at Limerick on bad ground and performed adequately without setting the world alight behind Drumnear and Upsea. But that form is pretty good. Drumnear's won subsequently. He won next time out at Fairy House. I think the step up in trip and better ground today will suit this horse as well. So with the favourite looking one to oppose, I'll oppose it with Blue Bicycle.
OK, Blue Bicycle then for Sandra Hughes in the 2 o'clock. The 2.35 up next, which is a handicap chase over 2 miles. They go without number 2 here, Kilmurry Kid. A notable absentee as well. And 5 o'clock tea has been really well supported. I suppose some of the move will be in the fact that Kilmurry Kid is out. Easy for me to say. But we've seen a lot of Tony Martin horses get gambled on in the past, Andy. They don't always win. And the fact that 5 o'clock tea is 2-1 at the time of recording, at 10:30, may just open this race up from an each-way point of view.
Yeah, that's a good theory. He was heavily backed to make a winning reappearance at 5 o'clock tea. So you could look at it two ways. You could look at it and suggest, well, you know, they really got him fit. The fact that he was gambled on, I think he was about a 5-6-1 poke in the morning that day at Nace, and he got smashed into 2-1. And the Tony Martin stable are never usually wrong when they think they've got a well-handicapped horse and they've got one coming off the back of a layoff. But he did look as though he did need the run, to my eyes anyway. So you could argue, therefore, he was better for the run or that he might bounce. So there's quite a few ways of looking at this race and looking at 5 o'clock tees chances. Either way, he's going to be well backed again today, I'd imagine. And on balance, I think he probably might win if he goes in the right direction. If he doesn't, then Heavenly Brook is the most likely to step in and take advantage. He was runner-up in that race that Kilmurry Kid won, of course, and 5 o'clock tee was third, splitting the pair. And he's a fairly consistent horse, this 11-year-old, who has only won one in 26, but has been filling out the runner-up spot for more than a few times than he'd desire. Obviously, he was outclassed last time in the Grade 2 at Punchestown, but they went a real good gallop that day, and it was no surprise that this horse has completely taken off his feet. This is more like it. He's used to running in these 0-110 handicaps, and he usually bowls along in front. So, like I say, the favourite is probably the one to beat, but when I've got a horse like that to back each way, who always finishes in the frame, you know, you can back him on the pro market fairly safe in the knowledge that you've got a more than 50% chance of getting your money back. So Heavenly Brook will do for me in the 2.35.
OK, next up is the 3.10, which is a maiden hurdle over 2.5 miles. The market focusing on 4 here, Andy. Altipix, Moscow Magic, Angus Milan, and It's Nothing Personal. All 4 at the time of recording are 4-1 or shorter. Altipix is the one that the market's very keen on, 5-4 for Gordon Elliott and Brian Cooper. This one going to be hard to beat?
Oh, no, he's one I want to take on. I tipped this horse last time out, and he could not have got an easier, more unpressed advantage at Fairy House, and he still squandered it. And he finished very, very tamely. He's one I want to take on virtually every time he runs, really, to be honest, at a short price. He got brushed aside very readily late on, and his finishing effort was incredibly tame. And that looked the way the time before as well in a bumper. That wasn't the first time that he'd curled up quite reluctantly when once pressed. So there's a great chance for us to back something each way against him. And that one is Moscow Magic from the Jessica Harrington stable. It was 4-1 with William Hill this morning. Now 7-2. So it's personal choice whether you wanted to back this each way or not. Myself, I think that's still a great value bet because it's hard to see him finishing out the frame. And like I say, with a short price favourite we're taking on, there's a decent chance we'll get the win side of the bet up as well. He had just had the one run over hurdles, but it was an encouraging one all the same. Even though he finished eighth, it was one of the hottest maiden hurdles run in Ireland this season. It was won by Windsor Park, who subsequently gone on to chase home Nicholas Canyon in that grade one at Leopardstown on Sunday, the Deloitte and Touche. Raw Caviar, well, he got beat next time out, but he still ran well in second. We know what Fort Smith's all about. The third horse is the kind of horse that will finish placed in a massive handicap and they get beat at a short price, but he's still a fairly decent benchmark. Horses like Fletcher and Lina Reig have both won out of that race subsequently. So we're dealing with really solid form there. And there's every chance that this horse will improve from the better ground as well. The day when he won a bumper at Nace, it was similar conditions to today. He looks as though he'll stay really well because he is a little bit one-paced over 2 miles. So I really do like his chances here, Moscow Magic. I think 7-2 is an unbelievable price. And he rates one of the best bets on the card. Like I say, it's up to you whether you want to back it each way or not.
Okay, the fifth race on the card is a handicap hurdle over 2.5 miles. Once again, the market really focusing on a couple here. Spacious Sky at 11-10 and Glenquest at 9-4 at the time of recording. Glenquest definitely brings the most solid form to the table, Andy. This race may open, the fact that you've got two pretty prominent at the head of affairs again opens it up from an each way point of view. The likes of All Day Long, Court Jester and Vote of Confidence look to be the three vying for that third place, if you like. But crucially, Spacious Sky, another Tony Martin horse that has been well supported, and Ruby Walsh's only ride on the card, Mr. Holding.
Yeah, I've got no doubt that this horse will win a decent handicap sooner rather than later. He's just too good, really, not to justify that theory. He finished fifth the last time we saw him in that race won by Westerner's Son, who's gone on to run well since in defeat. Horses like Miradane, who are third, they've also franked the form. The eye-catcher in that race was Spacious Sky, who scythed his way through the field but didn't get the best of runs at the same time, but finished with very much a big ring around him, with many race watchers putting him in their notebooks. He's gone on to be declared on more than one or two occasions subsequently, with the ground, of course, in Ireland and in England been very heavy, and he doesn't really want that kind of ground, so he's been pulled out. He's now been found a reasonable opportunity here on what could be described as just yielding ground to that Down Royal, so there'll be no excuses. And this good was good enough to finish second in a November handicap at Leopardstown towards the back end of the flat season behind Clondor Warrior. So he's definitely got enough class here and the ability to win off a mark of 98. No surprise here that bookmakers have taken evasive action here. William Hill have only got 11-10. Which doesn't really make a great deal of appeal to me. Glenquest, now I'd much prefer to back, considering I think there's only two runners worthy of note here. He's been in fantastic form, this 12-year-old, and Stuart Crawford's charge, even though he's a 3-mile-plus chaser, in essence, he still managed to win a 2-mile handicap hurdle at Navan early on in the season, which is almost beyond belief. He won that off a mark of 106, he raced off 114 today. He finished third last time out in a Grade 3 Chepstow chase, obviously won by Empress Choice. Of course, that was the Welsh National one we're thinking about. So, you know, he's in fantastic nick. He's had a bit of a break. The yard's in great form. It's their local track. He's run well before here over hurdles when he just got nutted in the latter stages over 2 mile 4. Then you should put him in some each way doubles and trebles with the likes of perhaps Heavenly Brook and Moscow Magic on the same card.
Okay, fair enough. The penultimate race on the card is the 4:20. It's a handicap hurdle over 2 miles. And there are some informed types arriving here, Andy. Walk to Freedom, Missy Pet, Just Get Cracking, all last time out winners. And I believe, did you nap Shabra's Bertolini just 4 days ago as well?
I did, yeah. He got a pretty poor ride by Jonathan Moore. He got a terrible ride off the same part at the time before at Fairy House when he got stuck on the inside. And that's the reason why I napped him, because I thought he'd turn the form around with Might Be Magic. He did exactly that in finishing fifth at Nice on Sunday, but that wasn't good enough. The problem was that they quickened up from the top of the hill, and this horse wants to test the stamina. I mean, he just got outpaced. It was only in the latter stages when the horse decided to run on. Once he was meeting the rising ground, he was finishing 2-0, 1. But again, Johnny Moore went right up the inside and up the backside of several horses that were dropping back in his lap, and it stopped him from finishing the frame. For those of us that backed him each way at 6-1, we were literally cursing our luck that he finished fifth, but he should have finished at least second or third. And I've got to give him another chance here today. Hopefully Jonathan Moore, with a smaller field, can't possibly get this horse into trouble again. And I think he should make more use of this horse, because stamina is definitely a strong point, but he's just not riding him properly. So hopefully, if he's listening to this podcast, not as though he is, but if he can get a message to Jonathan Moore, anyone out there, you've got to make plenty of use of him. If he made the running, then there'd be no excuses for me anyway, because I'd rather be ridden like that than to be dawdling around off a slow pace. And get stripped for toe again. He's been well backed again this morning. I've gone in again. I've got to give him another chance because I'm pretty sure there's a decent handicap to be won with this horse. But he's got to be ridden correctly. So let's hope that the pilot does exactly what I think and ride him a bit more aggressively than he did the last day.
The final race is a bumper coming up at 4:50, 2 miles the trip for this one. Three horses with previous racecourse experience here, Andy, and Cape City Boy, Be My C and Petty Chef. They all bring pretty solid form to the table. But it's the unraced The West's Awake for Edward O'Grady, who heads affairs and has been really well back this morning.
Yeah, very interesting, the money for this horse. Edward, of course, who's an 18-time Cheltenham Festival winner. But he hasn't actually been in the winner's enclosure since 2006. When he landed the Coral Cup. So he could do with a decent horse or two. And he's got one in the shape of Kitten Rock, who many of us think could run a big race in the Champion Hurdle. I think he runs in the last Champion Hurdle trial at Gowran on Saturday, and he probably will go in there off the back of a win. And the fact that the West Awake has been hugely supported in the market this morning suggests that perhaps this horse has been setting the gallops alight at home. And Edward O'Grady's always been a very, very good trainer. He's a trainer I like. Over the years, he's always had a decent horse and a classy horse attached to him. And the fact that this horse has been given to him to train by the Magnus, of course, suggests that this horse is above average. He's, of course, by Yates, that fantastic stayer and dual Gold Cup winning horse that was around for quite a while and, of course, did connections, many good services. And, of course, he's named after the 1978 Sun Alliance hurdle winner that used to be trained by Oliver Sherwood, of course. Simon Sherwood, his brother, rode that on to victory. And I think this horse also, that horse went on to win the Sun Alliance the next year. I think one of the only horses to do that, win back-to-back Cheltenham Festivals over hurdles and over fences. So he's certainly, if he's that name is anything to go by, he's obviously got a big reputation to live up to. But the fact that he's been heavily backed, like I say, against horses who've already got previous experience will certainly do for me.
Okay, the West Away and the pick in the lucky last. Good stuff, Andy. Thanks very much for your time. And we'll catch up with you tomorrow.
Will do. Thanks, bud.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.